We're back here. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Guys, if blood-thinning drug Xarelto caused you serious bleeding problems, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. And call them quick, by the way. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Hopefully your problems have been handled, and now you can...
Say that again?
Let's hope there's not too much of that in Browns.
I hope not in the dog pound. If the blood-thinning drug Xarelto, that's with an X, caused you serious bleeding problems, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. All right.
Go Browns. I love the only, though. That's the favorite line of that is go Browns.
Go Browns. GFB. Let's go on the phones now. 216-578-0850. Tom in Youngstown. You're on with Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and Michael Ray Guy.
I'm going to talk to you guys. I called yesterday. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you? Good to talk to you again.
I want to kind of follow up with what I said yesterday. I was kind of, you know, missed that they didn't try to do a couple reverses, a couple more. I only remember them doing one. It was kind of successful. And you guys kind of shot that down because, you know, Jacksonville is very athletic. But my point was, you know, we have to be able to adapt on the fly here when things aren't working instead of hitting our head up against the wall. You know, whether it be a short passing game or, you know, rollouts or whatever we have to do. My question is, with Shanahan being on the sideline, is there anybody up there in the booth, you know, pointing stuff out? To me, a lot of times, Let's say the running, you know, they were covered our running backs, but I think if the backs would have dug in one step and went the other way, the backside seemed to be open quite a bit to me.
I think Ben Tate always seems to look for that backside cutback lane. He tried that a little bit. Yeah, there are coaches upstairs. You've got on the offensive side, Kyle Shanahan's down there. The position coaches are all down there. But there are offensive quality assistants, et cetera, that are upstairs that Kyle's constantly in talking with. There are some offensive coordinators that love to be upstairs. Kyle likes to be on the field, get a feel for the game. I actually asked him about this, and he said he just likes to have a feel for the game on the field, be able to interact with the players quickly. And I know for him, he thinks it's very valuable when, between every series, as soon as Brian Hoyer comes off the field, they're right next to each other, and they are sitting there going through everything.
Right. Point we were trying to make yesterday, and Matt and I were going, we questioned a lot of that reverse, possibly, or even, you know, jet sweep, however you want to term it, against a fast defense, you know, probably is going to get you in deeper problems than you already were. But I do think the Browns do incorporate that because off play action, we see so much throwback and misdirection off when Hoyer waggles one way or the other. So I think it is a pretty strong staple of the Browns' offensive game.
I agree, and I think it's you know, a play fake off it is a long, deliberate misdirection, you know, and that's what we do when you see it a lot of times. Is like you can hand off the sweep or in the zone play that long stretch. Again, we talked about Brian Hoyer early in the season, the handoffs, you know, and his hand working, you know, that he does with his hands to like the deception that he can create simply by hiding the football. It happens on those reverses. You can play action off of it. You can screen off of them. There's a lot that you can do, and I think it just coincides with the misdirection aspect of the play action passing game.
No question. And sometimes you run that jet sweep, and then you have the guy coming, and you don't give it to him just to freeze the defense just for a second. And what, as a linebacker, somebody runs a jet sweep on you, they pick up 8 yards as the Browns did. And then if they keep going in those similar formations and they bring the guy across but don't give it to him, what goes through your mind as a linebacker? What are they accomplishing by doing that?
It's creating just an inkling of doubt in your mind. You know, is he keeping it or is it not? Very similar to what the zone read does for you, you know. And what it forces you to do is you have to be gap sound. So whoever has responsibility, and someone has it on every play in man-to-man, it's of course the guy guarding the guy that goes in that motion or in that fast jet sweep motion. But I mean, in zone or in a certain blitz, it's you have to be very true in your rush lanes or in your lanes in base defense, because someone has a response, just like in an option. You can't hit who's got quarterback, who's got the pitch man. And that's why you see the option work so well. When both guys take one, the other guy's open. Very similar.
And just to slow down the defense, give them something to think about on their way to making the play. Let's go to James in Cleveland now. James, welcome to CBD.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Hey, I believe that the Browns could do just fine if they play each and every game every Sunday like the like going to the Super Bowl. Just have that mentality, you know, like every win, get one step closer to the Super Bowl. And I believe our Browns would be just fine if they go out there every Sunday and play just like that.
Yeah, It's very hard to do. I will say that it's one of those, it's easier said than done. And it's just you would think, and again, I was a part of it, you would think they're paying you an exceptional amount of money. You're not guaranteed to do this for more than, 3 to maybe 8 years or more. Some people beat the odds that you would go all in each and every Sunday. But for whatever reason, there are variables, and it's called life. You know, wife and kids. It's, again, a personality being drafted out of Texas A&M, being the guy behind you, as the starter for a football team. It's the media asking a certain question that pushes your button, or an injury to the guy next to you. And those variables, are things that you have to deal with on a week-to-week basis that affect your performance, in which both mentally and emotionally and physically don't allow you to go all in to be on that high each and every Sunday.
All right, let me ask you this, because as a fan, you'd say, okay, these guys are getting paid a lot of money to really lock it in and dial it in 16 times a year, hopefully more if you go to the playoffs. But as you just said, it's not that easy. And it's a balance too, though, right? Because being overhyped and overly intense can be just as bad as being somewhat under-intense when you get out there on Sunday.
You're right. And the best way I can say it, and again, it's
just a human being, man.
That's what I mean. It's the obscene amount of money that probably makes it seem different. But I ask, do the individuals, making sales calls right now for the Cleveland Browns have their best day all 5 days in a week and repeat that next week and the next week?
But,
or is there any fall off?
That'll add up to more than 16 and 3 weeks in a day.
You're absolutely right. And again, that's why guys are consistently evaluated, and that also too is why there's such a revolving door now more so than ever in the National Football League with free agency and taking a chance on the young player and saving money towards the salary cap. So you hear that, the cap casualties because you take your chance on a $300,000 rookie as opposed to $1 million vested vet.
Guys, aren't we kind of saying though that, and I know fans, don't want to hear this sometimes, I think I have to catch myself, even lose sight of it, but, players are not robots.
No.
They're not machines that are turned on and off. And so, Matt, everything you said, I think at times, you got to maybe take a step back and kind of put that into play that, these aren't programmable machines we're talking about.
Look at Brian Hoyer brought, my wife wouldn't even talk to me.
Exactly.
Or my
yeah.
wife couldn't even be around me because of the way I was acting based upon my performance in Jacksonville. So we gave you an in-the-home look about how it affected his play, affected his home life, and how your home life can affect your play.
How much would you say what's going on, though, say emotionally between the years will affect your daily when you come to the facility, not only daily, on game day as well? I mean, emotionally, it's got to have a vast bearing, wouldn't you think?
It definitely does. And I think if, you look at a guy like Ray Lewis or a guy like Peyton Manning, who you don't get that in-depth look at his family and his off-the-field life, it's all you get is what you see, and all we see is such a positive light. So the more that you can create that barrier, the better in my eyes. And again, to say Ray Lewis, it's like Ray Lewis came across as, because of his trials and tribulations early in his career, very cold. And it's like, yeah, all you got from him was
violence,
team and religion.
Yes.
And that was the barrier he created, that you weren't going to break through his barrier and basically poop on his files.
Well, let me say again, I know fans, but fans, Nathan, fans don't want to hear that.
No.
Fans,
sorry,
don't want to factor that in.
No.
Go deliver for me on Sunday, damn it.
Has a doctor that makes six figures ever misdiagnosed someone before in their life?
Of course. And there you go. The defense rests. He's locking out like George Costanza. He's out of here. On like a high note, the pen has been dropped. All right, let's go out to one of the fine cities in this great, great country, Las Vegas, as we've got our guy Martin out there. Martin, welcome to CBD.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my phone call.
You got it, Martin.
Hey, I hate to do this to you guys, but I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Okay.
I really got a feeling that we probably won't win, and I think I just lost all my friends back in Cleveland.
As long as you're wrong, we don't care. We'll still be friends with you.
No, I don't think it's going to be big. I think it's going to be like 17-14, but the Raiders, they know that we have problems on the line, and they know we run. And with the combination of pressuring Hoyer and the running, I think it's going to be a tough match to win this game. And I hate to really say this, Nathan, but I would really like to see you grow your hair a couple inches.
Well,
you would look great on TV. I see you on the internet all the
man
time.
Man crush.
Yeah,
I'm trying.
Wow.
A little bit longer. I got to keep the fresh helmet. I got to keep it tight, you know, until I guess we would start dating.
Off season.
I'm going to keep the circle of people who control my hair a little bit smaller. I like that. It's nice, though. He's noticing.
We had to talk, and again, to get off of Nathan's hair and back to the first point that he made was I really think that he is right in saying that the run game and the line and being able to handle those things and taking advantage of what Jacksonville took advantage of, I just don't think that the Raiders have the personnel to be able to replicate what the Jaguars did, which will make for a different result this Sunday.
Not go sideline to sideline like Jacksonville can.
Correct.
Right?
This is what I think we're going to come out of this one and we're going to say, okay, was it really the Browns offensive line or did they just run into a great defensive front that on that day dominated us? If you can't come out and run on this Raiders team, I'm going to say the problems are more internal with us.
I'd agree with that.
And if we run fine on them, then I'll say, okay, tough, tough matchup. Styles make the fights. They stop what we do well. And on that day, they did a better job of stopping it than we did overcoming it. And that's what happened there. All right, Emmett, you want to hop on here real quick? We promised a couple fantasy football question and answers. There are a few that have flooded the Browns daily account. There's some on mine as well. But you want to pop on and do a couple of those?
Sure. Let me check it out here.
All right, I'll do one real quick while you're looking for the other ones. All right, we've got Matt Harrison 67 says Bradshaw. That's Ahmad Bradshaw or Brandon Oliver for the flex in a 10-team PPR. Ahmad Bradshaw has been a top five running back. Tough matchup for Oliver with Denver, and Trent Richardson's a little bit banged up, so I would go Ahmad Bradshaw, who has been one of the great comeback stories, I'd say, of the season this year.
All right, next up we have Colt. He wants to know Jimmy Graham or Jordan Cameron.
Jordan Cameron's maxed at 3 catches in a game. He's had 1 touchdown on the season. I want to see more from him. To me, if Jimmy Graham is going to come and play more of a full complement this week, you go with Jimmy Graham and you don't think twice. The injury is what gives me pause. I think that's a Sunday decision. And if you got good Jimmy Graham, you go with Jimmy Graham.
All right, and Matt wants to know Bradshaw or Oliver for a flex in a 10-team PPR.
Yeah, we'll go with Ahmad Bradshaw there.
All right, and he says, Paul says, I got to start one of these running backs in a PPR league, Hillman, McKinnon, or Jay Bell.
You know, with Reggie Bush missing practice today, I think Joik Bell looks like a very good start against a terrible Atlanta defense. So I would go with Joik Bell 1, Ronnie Hillman 2, and Jerick McKinnon would be my third option there. That would be it as I see it from that trio there. So thank you very much for your fantasy football questions. And I'll get one more here since he addressed it to Browns Daily here. Francesco said, would you start Travis Kadet over Baldwin in a flex spot full PPR league? I think Kadet's going to play a big role for New Orleans in the pass catching game with Pierre Thomas out. So yes, I would start him this week. I do like Baldwin, but I would start Travis Kadet this week as well. All right, it's been a fun show tomorrow. The last time we'll get to be with you before the Browns take the field against the Oakland Raiders at First Energy Stadium this Sunday, 4:25, late afternoon start as the Browns look to get back to their winning ways. Got to thank Doug Deacon for being with us. And, of course, for my man, Matt Wilhelm, my man, Michael Regai, I am Nathan Zagura saying thanks for all the calls, thanks for listening, great tweets, and we're almost there, Dog Pound, ready to get back on the field. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. This has been Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
Boom.